every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and the name to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. He's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
1-0. Man, are we getting fancy here?
Yeah, I can
five
count backwards.
Seconds to, you say 5 seconds to air?
I grew up in the space age.
I was going to say, sounds like a launch countdown.
Well, I've heard people say you're a bit of a space cadet, but I always thought you were I always thought you were a truth leader.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no, that was my ex-wife. I'm sorry for that. 1-888-221-8990. Okay, class, this is important now. Write that number down. Keep it next to your phone. Because we have special people here today.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Now, you don't know which one I'm talking about.
I know you're not talking about me.
No, they're not me.
No, wait a minute. He's not here anymore. Okay, so much for that. 1-888-221-8990. Toll free from any place. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joel Martech. Sitting with me is Vince Rizzino, CPA, not only CPA, but a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness, and an ex-college professor.
That's right. That's right, but not at Columbia.
Well, you couldn't help it. I know. He was trying to stay straight, but he couldn't do it. I've been picking on him for years about which school he taught at.
That's right. Only, you know, it's State University of New York.
Big little school. Actually, I think it's bigger in Columbia.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Statewide, yeah, absolutely.
And we also have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And I hate to make it sound that simple, but he has many titles that come after his name. Correspondent lender. I mean, there's all kinds of names.
I also vacuum and do the dusting around the office.
You also who where?
I also vacuum the office and dust it and take out the trash.
That's because you're cheap.
I wear all the hats.
And you know what? I'm one of these people. I don't care if anybody does it. I don't care what it is. I'm not ashamed to do anything. I've cleaned toilets. It doesn't bother. Ain't nothing that bothers. It's like after you have your first child and there's poop everywhere. Right? You remember those?
It's been a while. I try not to remember.
You know, I mean, my vivid memories are taking the kid with the diaper off and holding him up in the shower. And, you know, you remember doing
that's
that?
Better than the hose.
Oh, yeah. Well, it upsets the wife to take the kid outside with the hose.
Oh, they love it.
Especially here in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, warm water.
Mm-hmm.
And we have special guest member who's not a member, but he's always a member, Mr. Alan Love.
We don't know member of what, though, Joe?
We don't. He doesn't know.
Oh.
You know, he's a... are you an Ashkenazi?
A Levite.
A Levite.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
Do you know that I'm a 2% Ashkenazi?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
So I knew there was a piece of you that was really burnt.
I just got the Ancestry DNA test in the mail today.
And yours, what are you?
Well, I haven't taken it yet.
Oh, you haven't taken it yet.
He's not alien.
Do you know what Ashkenazi is?
No, I have no idea.
I was so taken back by this. I'm 2% Ashkenazi that I had to find out what it was. So then what do? I talk to the receptionist in the building where I am, and I said, I'm 2% Ashkenazi. She goes, oh, yeah, you're Jewish. And I said, how'd you know that? She goes, I'm from New York. Well, what happened is, and we have a biblical scholar over here, a Levite, which is retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Alan Love, who is a Messy Jew, excuse me, Messianic Jew, which means he is a Jew by birth, but he converted to Christianity some years ago, so his label is Messianic Jew. So I asked just now if he was Ashkenazi, and he said, no, Levite, that's your tribe.
Right.
Going back. The Ashkenazi tribe, this is very useless information.
Yes, this is going to be interesting.
In 4000 BC,
yes,
they were expelled from Babylon.
Mm. In 4000 BC?
4000 BC. And
that's
they
when you were expelled?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure it was 4000 BC?
I look 4000 BC, not AD. Of course, it's not there.
Doesn't sound right.
It's a long time ago.
But that's when Adam and Eve came onto the planet.
No, that was in 4011. Anyway, they then moved to Germany and settled along the Rhine River. That's why there are a couple of German Jews, right? Am I doing this correctly, Levite?
You're correct so far.
So I got kind of a charge out of that, and then we have no American Indian in us, which my daughter was really upset because she was thinking we should have. Because my grandmother on my mother's side goes way, way back behind before 1600, so we figured we'd have something in there to talk about. We might get some money out of a tribe, but never, that's not happening.
Well, the reason that I am going to do this AncestryDNA.com is because my son is now applying for colleges and scholarships.
So you're looking for your Indian blood.
There you go. You're doing Elizabeth.
You're a minority,
right?
We
had a lot of different subjects.
Well, you know, I ran into a young lady over in the Bahamas a few years ago, said she was getting $50,000 a year from her tribe. And I said, what? She goes, yeah, I'm 40% or whatever the number was, American Indian, and our tribe has got casinos and stuff, and that's my share. Mm. And I said, man, oh man, you're looking really good.
Hey, Alan, am I right that the Levites were probably the most religious of the tribes, keeping to the law?
Obviously they were the keepers of the law, and so they were strict Orthodox for the most part, and did the over 600 tasks every day. It's actually a requirement in the Bible. It sounds in today's fast-paced world like it would be impossible to do that, but back then, That's what the word required.
Well, Vince, you're a pretty good Bible study, so you've read that part, and
that's why I'm asking him, because I do read occasionally.
I'm scared. Other than the 60,000 pages of tax law,
no, I do that when I'm not reading the Bible.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. Now, Mike Polis, we were just talking a minute ago to Pastor Tom about mortgages, and every time you see a commercial on TV, hear something on the radio about this super-duper mortgage company that sounds like they walk on water, quite honestly, everybody can do the same thing.
Pretty much. Most of this technology that comes out, I mean, everyone's heard of, say, Rocket Mortgage, and that's a technology that came out through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So just about anybody who does conventional loans can offer that same service. So you don't have to go through a particular lender to take advantage of some of these new technologies out there.
Now, sometimes the quote lender will have a little blurb at the bottom of the commercial that you can't read. Mm-hmm. It's like 30 or 40 words that they flash there real quick to say, hey, basically this is a Fannie Mae, which is Federal National Mortgage Association, Freddie Mac, Federal Home Loan Mortgage Association, conventional mortgage approved, da 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 da. And that information, 99% of the people couldn't read it even if they tried because they do it so fast. But I always get a kick out of these ones that kind of come along and say, we are special. You know, we are proprietary.
Well, you wouldn't put advertising out there that said you weren't special.
Isn't that true? But I kind of, you know, I look at Dan Warren, who's not here, independent insurance agent, who was here this morning, and there's commercials on TV, says, well, accident forgiveness, we don't charge you if you have your first accident.
Right.
Well, almost every company has that as a rider. You can buy that and add it to your insurance. Now, they don't say that word for word in the commercial. Mm-hmm. They kind of let you think that that's an automatic.
Well, maybe they have it built into the policy where you don't have to put a rider on it. It's just built in.
Well, the answer is no. It's a rider.
It is a rider?
Yeah, yeah.
Even for them?
Oh, yeah.
So why are they so special? Why don't they have counter advertisements? The other employers.
Well, I think in their ad it says that they do disclose that. They said it's.
You got to just listen carefully.
Yeah. For those who have accident forgiveness.
For those who have accident forgiveness.
Right.
Uh huh. But you can see the it's like, you ever notice how people don't say this is black and white? They say this may, this could.
Mm-hmm.
You might.
Weasel words?
Weasel words. It sounds like attorney words, you know. In fact, Greg was on this morning, and we got him pretty good with the attorney words. It was interesting because Greg Fasulo, attorney, who is not here either, I'm telling you what, as attorneys go, he's one of the few I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's one of the better people alive. I mean, just a flat good heart, good guy. And what I was usually picking on Greg this morning, because you never get a categorical statement out of him. I shouldn't use the word never, because that's a categorical statement. Rare that you get a flat yes or a no. Is it daylight? Probably. Is it dark? Maybe. Someplace. I mean, Greg is, you know, right? You don't use categoricals. But I said I heard him do a categorical one time in my entire life. And then Alan came in, and he's actually, we got two out of them during the whole show, right?
Two yeses and three noes this morning.
The first one was, now, Greg is a bit of a liberal politician. You know that. Funny I would say such a thing. So I said, however, we brought this question up to Greg on the radio a year ago when everybody wants everything free from the government, right? He said, Greg, what do you think about free education? And you know what his answer was? No. Not maybe, not could be. Greg borrowed, worked, double jobs, put himself through law school. And the old philosophy that most of us were raised with, if something is free, it has no value.
Right.
You know, if you get an allowance and you don't have to do anything, okay, fine, that's what I expect. I don't have to do anything. But back in our house, in your house, in most all of our houses, there was no such thing as allowance. You got paid for doing something, if you got paid at all.
I didn't get paid at all.
No. Normally it was called, hey, we're feeding you, you owe us.
We got a roof.
Everybody's not cut out for college or higher education. Someone might want to choose a trade.
Oh, don't we wish they would?
Yeah. Well, they're
it's part and parcel with the problem with those student loans now.
I'm seeing it every day when I do these mortgage applications. There's kids getting out of college that are just inundated with debt.
Well, and it's
a lot of them shouldn't have been there in the first place.
No,
is the
but
point.
They got
encouraged to borrow the money, so they went.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, because they're going in and they're going accumulating all this debt. Then they get out of college and they can't find a job, so then they're talked back into taking additional college.
Right,
so it
right.
adds to the debt. Now, and then there's all these student loan programs that, okay, if you work for a qualified company or a qualified government agency, they have debt forgiveness. The problem is when you get out and you still have this debt, even though it's not in repayment, I still have to count it against you in your debt ratio, because someday you may not work for that agency.
Oh, so the payment is forgiven, but not the principal.
Well, no, after 10 years of whatever, if you're current with the loan.
If you're working.
And you're working for this institution, you can get forgiveness. But that's not free either, because it's taxable income when they forgive it.
Even if that is not in repayment, or you are in a limited repayment program because of your income, then we still count 1% of that debt. So if you have $160,000 worth of student loans, which I'm seeing every day, we're using 1% of that in your debt ratio. So that will hurt you qualifying for a mortgage.
Are you talking per month, per year, or what?
1% per month.
So $1,600.
Correct.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
So you have to make a lot of money to offset that.
Pretty much, you're qualifying for two mortgage payments.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the government's come up with a good answer to that, is if the recipient of those loans dies under the new code, then there won't be any taxable income on the on that forgiveness if they're dead. So, so if somebody dies and leaves the debt behind.
Well, boy, oh boy, I'm dead. Boy, I'm really worried about that.
Well, your estate might worry about it if you have one.
If you have an estate, so there's
a, if you're in a debt forgiveness program, you probably don't have much of an estate.
No, you might still owe the student loans that have other equity. I mean, it doesn't mean you, you don't need to pay off the debt. Some people don't. They pay what they have to pay, and they save for whatever.
So if, what you're saying is if you've got a program like that that is a government program to help subsidize or forgiveness, usually you can't be worth $1 million or $2 million on the side.
No, but what I'm saying is it's still a liability. When you die, you may not have an estate tax, but you still got liabilities.
Yeah,
you
okay.
owe money, right?
Now, it, does it... What you're saying, though, that I just understand that that loan is forgiven on death? It doesn't, it's not charged against your estate?
No, it won't be charged, no.
Okay.
No, under the new law, under the tax,
under the new law.
Under the Tax Cut Jobs Act of 2017. That
okay.
was one of the provisions.
How about that? So I better go back to school, you say?
No, you better visit your CPA and get edumacated.
Get edumacated, right? 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. So sitting here is Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. So what's the good news in the mortgage business today? Anything that's...
Yeah, I just got done doing my continuing education up in Orlando. There's a mortgage conference, and I got quite a few good products to offer my clients now. It's been ongoing that it's been increasingly difficult to finance condos if the condo doesn't meet all of the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac requirements. One of the big issues with condos is they're not budgeting enough for reserves.
Right, right.
They just do special assessments and assess everybody. Well, that's a big no-no when you're doing conventional financing. So we have to do what's called a limited condo review. You have to put 25% down. We don't look at the budget, and voila, you got your conventional mortgage.
But you
got
to put 25% down.
Right, but now I have a second mortgage program that we can do the limited condo review all the way up to 75%, and then we can do an extra all the way up to 90% on the second. So you avoid mortgage insurance, and we could do this all with non-conforming condos, which is really big news.
So a 75% loan plus another...
15%
second.
Yep.
Nice. So you do both loans.
You can arrange both loans.
Slick.
And you avoid mortgage insurance, and you can do these non-conforming condos.
Right.
Very nice.
How big a difference in interest rate between the first loan and the second loan?
Well, the second loan is going to be a higher interest rate. It's an adjustable rate. It's based on the 10-year T-bill.
Right.
And then what happens is, and that's actually an interest-only payment. So when you calculate the payments, it's going to be lower, one, because it doesn't have mortgage insurance, two, because it's interest-only. Now, the interest-only payments aren't forever. It's only for 10 years.
Okay, it's got
then they're going to want to start getting their money back. So then for the next 20 years, it goes into repayment.
Does it have a call date at 10 years? Or
nope.
No, it just says you got to start making principal payments.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, well, nice.
But at that point, you may have sufficient equity in the property where you may want to refinance
it. Out, sell it, do whatever you want. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's an interesting program.
Nice.
Sounds interesting.
Nice. Well, you know what has happened is with the economy being as strong as it is, and we fully expected, because you've lived through this mortgage, these things up and down with that roller coaster for a long time, that normally when the economy gets, quote, good, they find new programs to help people get into housing, because they can qualify for mortgages, they're making good money. And when things get bad, all of a sudden things start to change, and that's nothing new there in life, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes. Good afternoon. I called last week, and I had some questions withdrawing my savings and retirement funds and hopefully not having to pay any taxes on it. And some of it is deferred, yes. But if I keep my withdrawals low enough and draw from the right buckets, I'm hoping I won't ever have to pay any.
I remember your call, and you are a lucky woman today, because Vince Rosino, CPA, is sitting here. So
yes.
Run through the story again real quick and explain to him what we talked about last week.
Okay. When I retire, within a year or so, my Social Security income is only going to be about $1,700 a year. I want to match
$17,000 a year.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to match that pretty close with drawing from my buckets.
Now the bucket is a 401k or IRA?
Well, I have a Roth.
Okay.
I have an annuity. That is my largest. And I have a small traditional IRA and a profit sharing that has to be rolled over into that. And I'm hoping I can juggle around and withdraw enough from each that will just keep me under from having to pay any taxes.
Are you married?
No.
Single lady, right?
Yes, sir.
No, and no dependents at home?
Correct.
She got $17,000 Social Security. How much can she make?
Well, it's not how much you can make, Joe. It's the Social Security that's taxable is based on something called adjusted income modified.
Right.
It's modified adjusted income. But the formula, without getting technical, is you take all the other income that you have, and we kind of back into this, and add half of your Social Security.
Okay? Well, here comes her situation. She doesn't take that.
I think I understand.
Okay.
She's asking how much could she take without being taxed. And I'm trying to explain it.
Depend on her age, too?
Well, yes. I didn't ask her what her age is, but...
You're not going to be so young when you retire next year, right?
Right. I'm almost 75.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Well, that means you're gonna have at least 13.5 of standard deduction to start with. You're not getting any personal exemptions, so you're getting 13.5. So you can what goes into the pot for taxable income is basically anything over half of the Social Security that you're collecting. So let's say it's 8,500. You said 17,000. So it's anything over that, as long as you
I'm not understanding. So you've got 17.5 plus 13.
No, the 13.5 is deductions. There's two columns here, Joe. The first column is what it goes into the income pot.
Okay.
What goes into the income pot is half of her Social Security plus everything else she earns.
So, okay, so that's she's got 17, so that'd be 8,500.
Plus whatever else she takes.
So now she takes another, let's say, 15,000?
She could take 15 and 8 would be, what, 23?
23.
She's over the 13.7 or 13.5.
Okay.
So she'd still have taxable income up around 12.
Okay, so using that as a formula, let's say she did $30,000 a year off the top of your head, how much taxable?
Well, thing is, the first from zero to $24,000 isn't taxed anyway.
Okay, so basically, if we just added that up, she can probably put $30,000 in her pocket and have no tax.
30, 18, yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's what Mike and I calculated in our heads last week. We didn't have a CPA doing it but it's pretty close to 30.
Yeah,
grand.
Because it's 25,000 is the threshold. From zero to 25, you're not paying any tax anyway.
Okay.
Taxable income.
But only half of her Social Security would be subject.
Subject plus whatever else she earns. So it's half, 85 plus whatever she takes. So let's say she takes 30, that would be 38.5.
Well, if you took 20 plus 17, that would be 37,000, and half of the 17 would be part of the formula. So she's now at 28.5, and she gets a $25,000 deduction.
Yes, essentially.
So you'd have $3,000 worth of subject to tax.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't be taking that much, so I should be good.
Yeah, yeah, 30,000. Yeah, Mike, we did pretty good last year.
We were pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you called back, though, because that's a situation. You're not the only person that has this situation that's coming up. Now, on top of that, your Roth, if you wanted to, you could, let's say, limit yourself to $30,000 worth of income and not have any tax, but then you also could take another $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 if you needed it or wanted it, if you have it available, out of the Roth, and there's no tax
on that. And that's
right, but I'd rather not touch the Roth at all if I don't have to. I'd rather withdraw from my annuity, and it'll only be $60,000. I'm taking minimum distribution on the traditional and the profit sharing, which is a taxable one.
Right.
And if I can get that out and not leave that as a burden to my kids, that's my goal.
Listen, I'm a little bit old to be adopted, but I'm adoptable.
one other quick question. I heard someone last week talk about Index Universal Life.
Oh, boy.
And how people were moving there. I don't have a 401k, but I'm assuming you could also move traditional IRA and a profit sharing that was put into that into some kind of a policy like that, and it would never be taxed?
No.
Is that true?
No, I haven't heard that.
No.
Index Universal Life Insurance?
Well, just take life insurance all by itself. Okay, I don't care how you come up with the money to put into it. If you take money out of an IRA or any taxable, never been taxed, the IRS doesn't like that if you think you can find a way to get around it. Now, there have been some people that sold life insurance contracts that were variable units that you funded with a large chunk of money, and then they had some gain because it was in the market and you could borrow against it and not pay tax. But I will tell you this, if somebody tells you that on purpose, they're violating the law, because it's a smoke and mirrors type of thing. All of the house and the cards have to come together perfectly. So when people start doing that, what you would say is, show me the tax code so I can take it to my CPA.
Yeah, they said a 7702 IRS code was what they said, and I probably misunderstood it.
I would basically have them get you exactly the number of the code and then give it to your CPA or talk to Vince. You could send it to him. But the reality is this. I have never seen the infernal allow you to life insurance proceeds, of course, when you die are not subject to tax. But the money that goes into it,
I don't think you can take
money out of
it. Might do an annuity, which is a different story.
Well, the key is with the annuity, though, you can set up a life income. You can annuitize, what that's called. But it's very difficult to roll proceeds from anything into an insurance contract and avoid tax. You want to see the tax code, and then a CPA should look at it and see if there's any way in the world it can be accomplished. And then the next part is, of course, you have to qualify for it with health. And when you're not so young like you and me, we ain't cheap. even if we're in good health.
You got that right. Okay, I think I know what I'm going to do, like I originally thought. And I thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, well, when she came with that, the life insurance thing was a bit of a new wrinkle that we didn't have last week. But
I had one of those a couple of years ago.
That
came with the same scenario. Somebody told her. You can convert this and there's no taxability. I gave them the bad news and they walked away.
I said,
I'll go to somebody who's willing to do it.
Joe, if you're 75 years old, is really going into life insurance a good thing?
Well, here's what she wants to do. She wants to leave her kids some money. Okay?
Okay.
And she says, well, maybe if I don't live but 5 years, I'll never have enough money saved to leave them some money. But if I get a $250,000 policy and I pay $100 a month, let's say, or $200 a month, it's became a good investment for the kids.
She wants to convert taxable income to tax-free income. That's the whole issue.
And she's
convert
never...
Convert that IRA into a life insurance, you die, and then
and
the
then
kids
it goes
get
tax-free to the kids.
Tax-free to the kids. It doesn't work that
way. It doesn't work. The key thing, and I hear all the time with people, you know, Vince, I know when your parents died, they left you a couple hundred thousand.
Oh, yeah, right.
And you know.
With the decimal going over to the left.
If we could find, my grandfather died and he had $500 on a Prince Albert can in a refrigerator, cold hard cash. You know, I mean, remember in our day, there was people that left money, we never met them. I never heard of them. In our neighborhood, nobody, it was all working.
Well, we were working class people, Todd. Yeah. Nobody really accumulated a lot of estate.
No, you were. So now all of a sudden, people are leaving their kids $250,000, $500,000, $100,000, $200,000. And I'm thinking, gee, you know, I just have a hard time with that. I'm not sure it's the right thing to do for kids. Maybe it's good, what I tell people oftentimes, if they can put a trust together and put money aside in the trust for grandkids for education, to do things to motivate the kids to use it for a viable purpose.
You know, the percentage of people who are doing that is diminishing as we speak.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of baby boomers who are, not ready for retirement.
Right.
And they may live a long time and not have enough money to leave their kids.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. When I talk to clients about reverse mortgages, the number one thing out of their mouth is they want to leave their house or the equity in the house to their children.
I know.
You know, but here they're living, you know, hand to mouth with just trying to make ends meet. And
yeah,
it's silly
the
when they're sitting on a tremendous amount of equity in their house.
Exactly. I don't know where
they take a reverse mortgage?
Well, it's not for everybody, but, you know, it's something that you should consider.
when you get people that are living tight, that are not living, I mean, I go through this constantly, and Mike, we've got clients of mine that have talked to you 3 and 4 and 5 times. They want to leave their house to the kids, but they're living tight. They're always in trouble, but they are. Now they're counseling with the kids. What should we do?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, boy, you need to live, because any minute when you're 75, 68, 79,
not only when you're 70. I mean,
look at this group in here. We got 400 years between the six of us. So all
we
I'm trying
got about
is,
90 across the table alone.
Well, yeah. You know, people say, you know, you're in overtime. I said, no, I'm in double overtime. 1-888-221-8990. But she did bring up a subject or two that I want to address quickly. One, a Roth IRA. People have heard that word, Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. What happens is, while you're working, you're allowed to put money into this Roth IRA if you do not have a 401k at work that is maxed. Another rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put up to $6,500 a year aside that you pay tax on. And then when you take it out down the road 5 years or later, when you're over 59 and one half, every dime of that, including the gain, the interest, or the appreciation, is tax-free. And am I right, Vince? You don't have to take that money at any particular age. That money can sit and grow. So let's say she started with $10,000 and now it's worth $100,000. She could take the whole $100,000 at one point tax-free.
The beauty part of Roths, you don't have to take RMDs.
Right.
That's great. That's now, a good
RMD,
news to
explain
people.
That real quick.
That's required minimum distributions. With certain other pension plans, like 401ks in particular, once you reach 70 and a half, you have to start taking distributions.
Or an IRA.
Yeah, or an IRA. Exactly.
In fact, any other pension plan. Usually, I've seen one exception where the 401k allowed, and it was, I don't know how they pulled it off, but they allowed more contributions to come in and not have to take an RMD, and I've only seen that one time. But normally the rule is when you turn 70 and one half, you have to start taking money out of a retirement plan that has never been taxed. And the rule is basically, it's a little bit less than this, but 4% that year. And that percentage goes up a little bit every year until when you're 90, you take out 10%. And then when you turn 115, take your last
take 100%. This is great.
But I'm just saying, the government has a formula set up for what they call the required minimum distribution. Okay. But there is none for the Roth.
None for the Roth, which is good news.
Okay. The other side of the coin is, when you have these retirement plans, which she was talking 401k, but you have other numbers, 457, 403b, there are defined benefit plans, there's all kinds of different retirement plans that people can put money into that they do not pay tax on, it's tax deferred.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to, and according to the government, start taking the money out at 70 and one half. I've got, this happens almost every week. Somebody says, Joe, I'm leaving a company, I'm retiring. Some of the mandate that you have to take your 401k money out and you roll it out. Rolling it means no tax. And you put it into an individual retirement account. In that individual retirement account, I've seen people with $1 million into an IRA because they rolled it out of a 401k, 457, pick any number.
But you see, therein lies a real big tax potential savings, Joe. People who have money in 401k want to roll over. Sometimes, if part of that 401k is the company stock for the company they're working for,
right,
they make a mistake by converting it into an IRA, because then the whole thing... Yes, the whole thing becomes taxable at ordinary income rates eventually when they take the money out. But there's this little sliver provision in the law called the NUA concept, NUA, net unrealized appreciation. What does that mean? If you roll it into a brokerage account and you elect this section of the code, you're only going to pay taxes on the cost basis. Whatever it cost your 401k plan to buy that company stock, you pay ordinary income tax rates now for that. The rest of it gets deferred until you actually redeem it from your brokerage account.
Okay, so let's just do this again.
And at capital gains rates once it comes out of the brokerage account. At capital gains rates.
Okay, so it's not ordinary income.
It's not ordinary income when you do it that way.
But you have to roll it.
You're going to roll it into a brokerage account, not an IRA, another IRA.
So only that portion, which would be the stock.
Just the stock. You take the stock so out can, and you roll that over.
You can actually move the stock share for share into a brokerage account, which costs next to nothing.
Correct.
So now that sits in the brokerage account.
Correct. Now at some point, you might want to redeem it. Let's say trade it in, sell it, and take the money out of that brokerage account. Now you have a cost basis on whatever you paid ordinary income tax on.
Okay, so let's go back again. Let's say that the company put those shares in, and they cost $10 a share.
All right. So now, let's say you got $10,000 of stock cost basis inside.
It's
worth $100,000 now.
So the $10,000 comes out.
The whole $100 would come out.
Right.
The stock transferred into a brokerage account.
Right.
But the IRS allows you to just pay income taxes today
on the
$10,000 that you paid for it. Ordinary, by the way, it's ordinary income tax. Now, so you move the $100 in.
Right.
Now, let's say you hold on to it for a year inside that brokerage account, and now you pull it out, and it's worth $110.
Right.
Well, you got $110 comes out, less the $10 you paid taxes on originally, so you got $100,000 gain, which is taxed at capital gains rates.
So all of that stock, even though it's in an IRA now,
all the stock, the unrealized appreciation of that stock.
It wouldn't be in an IRA.
No, it wouldn't be.
It's going into a brokerage account. It's not going into
so you're moving it out of the company.
Out of the 401k.
Into a brokerage account.
And you're paying tax on the cost.
On the cost only.
Only. The difference, the unrealized appreciation, stays in the brokerage
account. And that's only on
you're working for the company presently and you have their
stock. And they include stock in that plan.
In their plan.
Right. And there's a lot of companies that have these stock plans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these companies have it. Now, is this a relatively new or an old or always
No,
been?
This has been around for many, many years. Not many years. Probably 4 or 5 years that
okay.
I know of.
Okay.
Well, it's a tremendous advantage to take the stock then from the company you work for.
And a lot of people don't know about it, so they wind up moving the whole thing, the whole 401k and everything into an IRA, and then everything comes out ordinary income.
And it doesn't matter your age when you do this.
No. No, as long as you're working. Still working for the company.
Okay, back again. So I retire from this company, and I've got this 401k, and let's say it's worth $200,000, but $100,000 of it is company stock.
When you retire, you take the money and you move it.
You take the $100,000.
You take that $100,000 stock and you move it into a brokerage account.
Okay, and you pay tax on the
cost basis.
On the cost basis that the company put in.
Right.
Okay. So you don't have to be working for that particular company.
At the time you move it, I guess you should be. If you're retiring, then. Be the last place that you worked.
It'd be the last place you work, so you're okay.
Right.
Now, I guess what Mike just said is, if you go to work for another company.
Well, once you do it and it's moved, it's moved.
Once you do it, it makes no difference. But you should do that immediately when you leave that company.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You do it.
New wrinkle. Hey, you know.
I did not know that.
I thought I was so old there was nothing left to teach me.
You got to talk to your CPA some more, Joe.
What's your name again?
There are things that you may not know.
One. 60,000 pages. You got them all memorized?
No. But you know what happens? Honestly, what happens from time to time, these things show up in a bulletin or something.
Yeah.
Did you remember this?
Let's take another caller here. Caller is Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. This is Michelle.
Hi.
And I have a quick question in regards to retirement funds and IRAs and Roth.
Go ahead.
I currently have a 401k with my employer. And just recently, the advisor at the company was telling me where I kind of need to be as far as retirement comes, and I need to increase a little bit more on my percentage, which is fine. I can do that. But then I had someone tell me that it would be a good idea to put the difference of percentage that I'm going to increase into a Roth IRA instead of increasing it on the 401k.
Here comes the question. Is the 401k have a portion of it that can go into a Roth?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that yet.
Into the plan. You could do one or the other or both.
Yeah. So what you have to do is talk to your HR people and find that out first. But also what does happen is there's limits. If you totally contribute all that you're allowed to contribute to a 401k based on your income and your company matches whatever the portion, you may be limited to none or very few dollars that you could put into an outside, into a Roth or any other form. So, number one, you have to talk to your accountant once he knows your gross income for the year. One.
Okay.
Next, how much you're contributing to the 401k. if you max it out, you cannot start another retirement account because you,
that's
the
correct,
government says
Joe.
No.
You can only put, it depends on your age. The max is 24.5. And if you that's okay. if you're over
right
50.
Right now, I am at 10%, 6% the company matches.
Nice.
He's trying to get me to 17%. So what I was going to do is increase, but not to the 401k. It's almost like opening a Roth IRA with the difference in percentage.
There you go.
Which would be the 7%.
Does your plan, Cole, allow you to have both underneath the auspice or the plan
inside
itself, inside the 401k? Can you put a Roth?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good question. I'll have to call them and ask. Basically, what I was trying to do is just open a Roth IRA and then put the difference in the percentage that I need to with the 7%.
It's just a lot easier to do it if it's
5% into the Roth.
There you go.
It's a lot easier if it's in the plan.
Will the company contribute, though, on a Roth?
No, not necessarily. But if she's got a 6% match and she wants to go to 17%, that's insignificant.
Right.
So what happens is you always put in whatever they put in, but if you have to go back to your HR people and say, okay, what is my limit I can put in totally, and then say, okay, back out $6,500 or $5,000 after they contribute and match and put that into the Roth, you can do that separately, or can you do it within their plan? That's two questions. Making sense?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
All right.
You guys are great. I love this show. I listen to you every Wednesday when I get out of work, and I always learn a lot, and at times I call you guys for questions.
You're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Calling, Cole.
Can you just keep. Hey, listen, I'll send you that $20 I owe you for this testimonial. You have a wonderful day. Bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks,
you.
Bye,
you
too. All right. Bye.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that people want. I have a client who has a company contribution plan, but it is not a matching plan. It's not an IRA. It's a number. And it has nothing to do with 401k rules or anything else. So she can have an IRA on the outside and contribute up to $6,500 a year. But we had to make it perfectly clear that it was not a 401k or a plan that had restrictions on outside retirement plans.
Could be a deferred compensation plan.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Very good, Vince. You know, the deferred comp. Yes, sorry. But we have, didn't we have somebody?
All under the 401 banner, Joe.
And there was another one had a 403A.
And again, all under the 401 section.
All came under the A. Yeah.
That's the one. All under 401 banner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the deferred comp.
But it was a 403A.
Well, because it depends on the entity
nonprofit
that you work
with. Yeah, I know, but I had never heard somebody use the letter A was always deferred comp. I know. Letters and numbers go, how many of them there are, there's tons of them.
Yeah, but they all fall under 401.
Same rules.
Right. Same section of the code.
Did you just say the magic word number, 888-221-8990?
Alan just woke up. That was really impressive. Thank you. 1-888-221-8990. Toll free from any place. Yeah, and that's what we're here as a group to do. We've got about, and I'm trying not to exaggerate, but in our group there's six people, and there's about 200 years of combined experience.
Didn't mention all of the members.
No, but
yes.
And then I didn't add Alan. With Alan, and there's 300 years of experience, you know. But anyway, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, which is not here today, Remax of Stewart, the hardest working person alive.
Without a doubt.
I mean, Mike and I've known this girl since 1980 or 78, whenever it is. I have never known anybody that only has two speeds, full blast, working, or asleep. She only has two ways. You know, in fact,
sometimes I have to tell her, slow down, my ears cannot keep up with your mouth.
You know, I got a kick out of this. You know, her husband had a stroke, and he gets helicoptered in. And I says, Vic, were you on the phone when you were in a helicopter? He goes, Joe, I'm not going to answer that. She's awake, she's usually working, if there's possible.
Yes.
How many times And she said, okay, I'm on my way there. And of course, she never shows because she gets a client call.
Yep.
And she gets sidetracked.
She has to make a U-turn.
She goes, Joe, you never invite me to your parties. And I said, Vic, you're invited to every one. You never show. You get called. But she goes, well, I made it all the way to your driveway one day. And somebody called. 1-888-221-8990, which leads me to Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Now, in my not too humble opinion, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Why? 38 years in business, over 100 companies under his umbrella, every form of insurance that you can possibly think of. And I can't tell you personally, in our group right here sitting, he does my car insurance, my house insurance, he does everything. And Mike, how many people have you tried to get mortgages for, and under the existing insurance, they may not have qualified?
Yeah, I mean, we try to educate our customers when they come in, they do a mortgage application, we tell them what they have to do outside of our services. They have to go out and get homeowners insurance. Well, from time to time, more often than not, they wait to the 11th hour to get it, and Dan's always there.
Yep, and he's been able to come in with a budget so they qualify.
Correct.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am trying to ask a question. I have an elderly with me, which is about 67 years old, 68, and they didn't have anything to save because they weren't working anything too much, but now they get a little better job and have a little, can save something from the pay they want to know.
Right.
They can put anything, if at their age, they can put anything into IRA or whatever.
Yeah, they can put it all the way till their age 70.
Yeah, as long as they're working, they have to have earnings.
It's got to be earned income, meaning you have to have a job. It can't be interest from a savings account or anything. It has to be working from a job. But the answer is yes. And are there one person or two people?
It's one person.
It's one person. So $6,500 per year. Now, I have people right now, just as when you bring this up, I have one particular company, couple that didn't save money. Now they're saving because he picked up his Social Security income and he's still working. But now he puts $2,000 a month, part of it into an IRA, and the other part goes into a separate account because he can only put $6,500 a year into the IRA. So it depends on how much they want to save, but there's ways to have tax-deferred instruments, meaning you don't pay tax on it as it's earning money until you start taking it out. You understand what I'm saying? But $6,500 can go into an IRA, but other money can go into other instruments and be saved without tax until they take it out.
So what about a Roth IRA?
Okay, so you put money into a Roth IRA, same rule, $6,500. You pay tax on it now. But when you take it back out, let's say 5 or 10 years from now, that is all tax-free plus any of the earnings, or all of the earnings.
All the earnings. All the growth is tax-free.
So let's say they put in $10,000 and now it's worth $50,000. Let's just use that as an example. The $10,000 that they put in, they pay tax on. The $50,000 they take out in 10 years is 100% tax-free.
Okay, I see. I got it. Okay, I like them to know how this works.
You can tell them that. And there's a little other side effect. If they have a husband and wife or they have children, they can die, and we're all going to do that anyway, and they can leave it to the child if it's in a Roth, and that child inherits it as a Roth IRA, and they have no tax consequence again.
Oh, that's nice.
So you're doing a nice thing for the children or the grandkids.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a question we haven't had either. But
yes.
Well,
they're working in late into their 60s, yeah.
Now, what happens, Vince, on a Roth? When you turn 70, though, aren't you done contributing?
You can only contribute if you have earned income, Joe.
What if you're 75
and you're earning money? Yeah, you can.
But what into a regular IRA?
No.
No,
401ks and IRAs, no. It's 70 and a half.
But a Roth, you can.
You're done. Roth, you can continue if you have earnings. Yep.
So keep working until you're 80. Just keep contributing and leave that money to your kids. Your kids are going to love you when you die.
They're going to have to. Chances are, though, if you're working after that, you probably need the money. So.
Well, the odds are good.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people that stay healthy. all the way through. I've got a client now, 90 years old. I mean, if he's not working, he's not happy.
Wow.
You know, but he can. Mm-hmm. You can't hear him. He can't hear anymore, but boy, he works.
You know, one of the plans you told us about a couple years ago was an individual 401k.
Yeah, solo 401k.
Yeah, solo,
right.
401k. And that saved me an incredible amount of money, and I appreciate you sharing that information. But a lot of our listeners probably don't even know that exists, because I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, basically with the solo 401k, it allows a two-pronged benefit to the participants. So if you employ yourself, you're able to put up to the maximum amount into a 401k plan and then match it with an employer match. You're the employer. As long as you have wages to apply those the match against.
Then now with a solo, that means you have no other employees, though.
Solo, no other eligible employees, yeah.
Quote.
Well, it could be a spouse.
Yeah, it could be a spouse.
You could have two employees, yourself and a spouse.
But no other outside, because now you have to do the same thing for them.
Well, yeah, with a 401k plan. I mean, there are certain provisions in there that you could escape maybe for money.
But like with a husband and wife, you can get up to about $50,000 a year. Right?
Plus with a contribution from the company, it could be
$60,000. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I had a question regarding life insurance. I have currently right now a policy in effect, and my daughter is a beneficiary of that policy. When the policy goes into effect, and she receives those funds, are they maybe subject to tax?
No.
Taxes being taken out?
No. Life insurance policy proceeds are tax-free.
They are tax-free.
So you leave your daughter $100,000 or $200,000, she can have one really big party and not pay a dime's worth of tax.
and the reason for that, caller, is that you don't get any tax breaks when you make your premium payments. You don't get to deduct it.
So you're putting money into it that you've already paid tax on, in theory, or it was subject to tax. Let me ask you another question, Vince. So let's just say this is a wealthy, wealthy lady, and she now leaves $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
But $10 million of that is life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a $5.5 million window for estate tax. Is any of that life insurance then subject to estate tax?
Yes.
Okay. So if you leave over $5.5 million,
well, it's actually double that if you're married.
Yeah,
it's about $11 million.
$11 million. So make sure you're not worth $11 million when you die.
Good tax plan.
Spend some of the money now.
If you've got too much, you call me again. We know some people here that will help you liquidate that immediately.
And you said you were up for adoption.
Well, I'm up for adoption, right?
Thank you so much.
You have a wonderful day.
Take care, caller. Thank you for calling.
Bye. Yeah. A lot of people, even though we take it for granted that life insurance proceeds are tax-free, just that simple. Now, again, you leave $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, you have an estate tax exemption.
But there are ways around that, too, Joe.
Of course.
That's why the estate planning comes in. You could put it into a trust.
Into a trust.
You could put it into a life insurance trust, which essentially takes it out of your estate and puts it somewhere else.
Well, it also can pay the taxes on the estate.
Yes, it can. And that's what the point of that is. Yeah. Life insurance, usually they set that up as a strategy to help pay the...
Exactly.
If they have a huge estate, to pay the estate tax.
Well, you have to qualify for it by health, et cetera. But if you've got a huge estate, believe me, in fact, I had a client some years ago that had a $25 million estate. So we ended up going to a very specialized CPA who had gone through court cases. Mm-hmm. And the trust ended up costing him pushing around $25,000 to get all this taken care of. And it wasn't a simple thing because this is very complicated.
You have to set up what they call an ILIT, which is a life insurance trust.
But there was also a family limited.
There's all kinds of options.
You should go visit your CPA or financial planner to work out an estate plan. It's important if you have a large estate.
Especially if you have a large one. Then you can start doing and going through, jumping through the hoops. But
if you don't have a large estate and it's under $5.5 million, then the estate planning is,
Well, you know, and the key was, it ended up when he was all done, it would have saved quite a few millions of dollars. Oh, yeah. But one of the biggest problems is he had started a business. And normally you die, the kids very often would have to liquidate the business in order to pay the estate taxes, or used to be the family farm. Right. Dad bought the acreage for $10 an acre, and now it's worth $2,000 an acre, and bam, the kids have to sell the farm to pay the taxes.
Or take some mortgage out of it, because I had that same situation with the farm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But all these things you have to qualify for, but if you do this planning ahead of time, and while you're still alive and healthy, believe me, it can sure save an awful lot of grief and aggravation.
The IRS helps these people, Joe. I mean, if you have that situation, you've got a, you can work out a 5-year payout on, on the taxes that are due.
Sure.
In that case,
there's all kinds of rules. Once the person is dead, those rules are gone.
Most important, and I ask them all the time. You'd be surprised how many people, Joe, I ask, do you have a will?
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And that's the first place to start.
It
right?
is. Well, that's one of the first things I ask everybody when I have a new prospect is a will or a trust.
Right.
And it's cart and horse. People look at some of the most brilliant people on earth have died without such vehicles. And
what was it recently? I heard that Aretha Franklin died without a will.
Yeah.
And say a quick question. Say you have a Roth and you die and it goes to your beneficiaries. Do they pay taxes or not?
No, not at all.
So they get the tax break being a Roth. But a standard IRA, they'd have to pay ordinary income tax.
Yes.
An IRA, yes. Yeah. Because somebody has to pay the tax.
Okay.
If you're alive and you didn't pay it, it's because it's in an IRA, 401k. The IRS says it's income in respect to a decedent if you die. So your beneficiaries pay the tax.
If it's a Roth and it's not a blood relative, is it still tax-free?
If it's a Roth and not a blood relative, that's a good question, Joe. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not positive. See, the way the government, they catch you, these little things, you know, sometimes you're supposed to have a blood relative inherits them, and then they can continue it at their age and their IRA. I know that's how it works with a traditional.
It does with a traditional IRA and a 401k.
But the Roth, I'm not sure.
The Roth, I'm not sure. Yeah. We'll have to look that
up. Yeah, we'll have to. Hey, look at two things today. This is a miracle.
Stumped them.
Two things?
What was the first thing?
I forget already. 1-888. Mike is supposed to be remembering this stuff. 1-888-221-8990. And we're about out of time. You call the radio station anytime on that number. Talk to Pastor Tom, Dave, or Jonathan, and they will take your name and number, and we will get back to you. And we thank all the callers that called in today, and that's what we're here for. We're here to help you. Thank you so much for listening and for your call.
Yes, thank you, callers.
Are we out of time?
Listening audience?
Are you going to cut us off right about now?
And God bless you.
Thank you, thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.